That's still to come for you. But first, annexation. That's what tens of thousands of protesters in the Middle East are calling new Arab Union plans. It comes after Saudi Arabia said it wants to form an alliance with Bahrain, paving the way for an EU style of integration. Iran also strongly objects to the plan, with thousands taking to the streets. Let's now discuss the proposed union and the opposition to it with independent political analyst Dan Glazebrook. He's joining me live now from the UK there, from London. Dan, why is Bahrain's government so enthusiastic about this union with Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think Bahrain's government is enthusiastic for the very reason that the Bahraini people are unenthusiastic, because it's going to legitimize and systematize the Saudi involvement in crushing the Bahraini revolution, drowning the Bahraini revolution in blood. The Bahraini government, of course, the Al Khalifa ruling family, are happy about it for that exact reason, because they fear that the wave, the revolutionary wave that's sweeping Bahrain, will threaten their centuries-long rule of the country. The Al Khalifa, you have to remember, with Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, the idea that they will have their policy dictated by a bigger foreign power is nothing new for the Al Khalifas. They worked as the servant of British imperialism, servants of British imperialism for 150 years, then servants of US imperialism for the last 40 years. So being now taking orders from the US indirectly via Saudi Arabia, no particular big deal for them. I don't think this is a family that has much shame in that regard.
Well, those advocating this union put a positive spin and say this could actually promote some sort of calm in Bahrain, bearing in mind Saudi Arabia is one of the more stable states in the Middle East.
Calm, stability. Well, can calm and stability really come from repressing the majority of the population? 70% of the population are Shia, and they are increasingly, actually, systematically excluded from any positions of influence, power. They're effectively disenfranchised and always have been in this regime. So can you have any long-term sustainable stability and calm by actually crushing and disenfranchising and disempowering the majority? I don't think so.
So therefore, this could actually have a negative effect, where Saudi Arabia could be adopting a weaker and more unsettled state, and perhaps could lead to instability itself there in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and you know, we have to ask what's in it for Saudi Arabia. And in answering that, it's crucial to remember Saudi Arabia doesn't have an independent foreign policy and never has done. Its foreign policy, like those of the other Gulf states, is formulated in Washington and London. So we really have to ask, when we think, why is Saudi Arabia doing this? We have to ask, why are the colonial powers, Britain and France, and of course now the US, why are they pursuing this course? And I think we have to understand this in terms of preparations which have been underway for several years now for an aerial strike against Iran, and which is still on the table. The crushing of the Bahraini resistance is crucial to the war plans against Iran, because what's the biggest deterrent to an attack on Iran is, of course, the fear amongst the Western elites and Israel that actually the Shia population in other countries will rise up and start to resist that attack on Iran. So actually, what's the crushing of the Bahraini revolution is all to do with trying to preemptively destroy any potential resistance to the coming attack on Iran. So, of course, a majority democracy, which the Western elites, of course, are forever banging on about, is actually the last thing they want in Bahrain, because that means a Shia-dominated government. They're going all out to try and prevent Iran's current ally in Syria. They're trying to destroy that, going all out to destroy that. So the last thing they want is a democratically elected Shia government in Bahrain, because that could cause severe problems when they try to attack Iran. So,
Dan,
that's the kind of context, that's the overall context.
And just briefly, you talking about that challenge to Iran, that would definitely provoke Tehran in pursuing that nuclear weapon, which is suspected of doing, but now there's clearly consensus that it isn't. But that would give it reason to do so, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Iran has had reason to do so for a long time. I mean, the US, Britain have been going all out to overthrow the Iranian regime ever since it came to power in the revolution in 1979. But the plans have become a lot more in the last few years, and especially since 2001. The plans have been increasingly developed and formulated more and more specifically. So That's a very real possibility, and the Iranian regime would be wise, frankly, to develop a nuclear weapon, because I think actually that would be the best chance of scuppering the war plans, the blitzkrieg that's being lined up in the West for Iran. That would be the most effective deterrent. And I'm not alone in thinking that. An opinion poll in Egypt just recently said that the majority of Egyptians think that the best hopes for peace in the region will be an Iranian nuclear weapon.
Interesting thoughts. Dan Glazebrook, thank you very much indeed for joining us live there in London. Independent political analyst Dan Glazebrook there. Thank you.